here a second.
Siobhan.
It's okay, you can leave it up.
If this is how it's
I need to get my disclosure up there anyway. Let me put it up.
So it's a V and a V?
Yeah.
Up there.
So it's a V and a V and an H together.
Good. And then I guess and we just hit escape.
Yeah.
And
yeah, whatever you're more comfortable with, you can, these are arrows, or you can use the click button. What's that?
Oh, just this disclosure, like in, you know, slide that we had to
have. Okay, real fast, a couple of things. I'll introduce you right before your presentation.
Okay.
When you're done, if you go ahead and finish the slide up and then start the next person's slide, so that as they're coming up to the podium.
So escape, click right on there?
Well, you just, if you just keep right clicking with the mouse.
Oh, it'll keep going?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'll save questions for the end. I will hold up a sign that lets you know you have 5 minutes left, 3 minutes left, 1 minute left.
Good.
And time's up. And I will follow the schedule. So we have 15 minutes from the point where I introduce you to the point where time's up. And I will make sure that I don't use up all your time introducing you.
Good. That's perfect.
At the very end, when we have questions, everything's being recorded. So just make sure that if somebody asks a question, you repeat the question in the microphone so that it gets picked up.
Okay, well, good morning. I thank you all for coming. It's awfully early, and we're getting towards the end of the conference. My name is Helena Vonville. I'll be moderating the session. So you know, there will be a chance to ask questions at the very end of the session, so you'll have to wait till then to do so. My first speaker is Carolyn Maggie, who is at the Indiana University School of Medicine, Department of Family Medicine. She's the research manager there. She's directing and managing various research projects and evaluation projects for the Department of Family Medicine and works with the director and associate director of research on research operations. And congratulations, she recently started working on her doctorate in health promotion at Purdue.
Thank you. Well, good morning. As Helena said, my name is Carolyn Maggie, and I work in the Department of Family Medicine at IU. Here is my disclosure slide. I was told I needed to say that. What I'm here to do today is to tell you a little bit about our work on the impact of primary care workforce distribution on health outcomes in Indiana. And what I hope to accomplish today is to, A, tell you what we found when we looked at this relationship, and then mostly to fill you guys in on maybe some methods that you might use. Excuse me, it's a little warm here. Methods that you might use, maybe in particular the data sources that we used in Indiana to look at the relationship of primary care distribution on health on health outcomes. And then last but not least, if any of you folks are working in this area, this is a real exploratory study, and you'll see why as I go through. Any ideas or suggestions or any feedback that you have, I would love to hear about. And I'm really interested in hearing some of these other talks because we, too, are working on some models in workforce distribution. The technical rationale for this project is there is a positive relationship between the number of primary care physicians and better health outcomes. And I think intuitively we would think that. You know, you think of access to timely primary care would keep people out of hospitals, avoid hospitalizations, and hopefully lead to better health outcomes. And sort of the behind-the-scenes rationale is we've been working on this distribution and supply of primary care providers a little bit in nursing, too, in Indiana. And the question you beg to ask is, okay, so we know we have X number of doctors in each of these counties, or we have X number of different kinds of providers, so what? You know, what does this mean for the health of the state of Indiana? And then last but not least, as Helena mentioned, I'm working on my degree in health promotion, and I'm really interested in, you know, what are the health outcomes, and then what can we do with those a little bit later once we get the details knocked out. This is the piece that you might be real interested in. We use three primary data sources. The first data source is for the counts, if you will, of providers in the state of Indiana. We actually purchased the area resource file, I want to say for about $400 or $500 from HRSA, and they're actually out in our exposition hall, so if you're interested in this, you could talk to them. We use that to lay out the number of providers by county. We use the U.S. Census to look at our population level data, which makes perfect sense. And this last piece here I'm going to talk more about in the next slide, but we have a really good friendship with the State Department of Health in Indiana. We've been working a long time to nurture that partnership. And they entrusted us with the adult prevention quality indicators and the pediatric quality indicators, which again I'll tell you about. And then we had some doctors who were interested in some other health indices, so we kept those things in. This is the long list. Oh, good, you can read it quite okay. The adult PQIs and the pediatric PQIs. Have any of you used these before? Know what they are? Well, in the past, apparently, before my time in working in the area, these measurements were called avoidable hospitalizations. And we used them because in Indiana, we either had to use the data that we were extracting right off the website for our health outcomes information, mortality, morbidity rates. But we actually garnered access to these things, and basically what they are, they're indicators of quality and access to outpatient care. And the basic premise is that with good outpatient care, we could basically prevent these hospitalizations. They're avoidable hospitalizations data. So if you look at urinary tract infections, not being a clinician, just, you know, gathering this information as I work, most people don't end up in the hospital for a urinary tract infection unless, of course, they have a special circumstance or maybe they don't have access to care. So again, these are avoidable hospitalizations, 14 for the adults and 5 for the pediatric group. One other point, these are really screening tools. You know, we know that they're not definitive measures. These are some of the data that we pulled off the web and kept in. We had a particular member of our faculty who was interested in looking at these relationships as well. Simply speaking, we didn't really do super high-level analyses on these. This, again, was an exploratory study. But what we did do was we took the area resource file and calculated our sums per county and calculated rates so that we had some apple-to-apple comparisons. For the PQIs and the PDIs, we wanted one aggregate measure, you know, to start with, to take a look at our state as a global unit, if you will, or our state unit. So what we did was we created a variable that represented each group. What we did was sum them up, excuse me, what we did was we ranked them and summed them and created one variable that represented adult PQI and pediatric PQI so that we had that aggregate measure. And then we ran a series of bivariate correlations between the supply of providers, and I use the word provider now because we looked at some different provider groups on the PQIs and PDIs. And this is basically what we found. Quickly jump here. I'm going to leave the microphone, so I may have to talk a little bit early. If you look up in the left corner, that's Gary, Indiana. Okay. Oh, okay. If you look up here in the left corner, this is Gary, Indiana, and you can see from the legend at the bottom, the darker the color, the more providers there are. And this is a map, if you will, of primary care physicians, family docs, general internal medicine, and general peds. In the middle is Indianapolis and our surrounding counties, so you would expect to see, you know, a higher number of doctors in those areas. This is Evansville, again, a little more populous center. It's important also to note that these counties here along the edge of Indiana, obviously there are fewer doctors and in some cases less than 25 according to the area resource file. So I point that out as I move forward. I also want to point out that Indiana has 92 counties. About 37 of them, or 40%, are urban, and the other 60% are rural. We set our benchmarks for the number of doctors that we need in Indiana to take care of the citizens of Indiana based on benchmarks produced by the specialty groups. So, for example, the American Academy of Family Physicians has worked long and hard and spent a lot of money putting together a demand model to examine how many doctors that the United States is really going to need per 100,000 over the course of the next several years. So that's where our benchmarks come from. Many times we summed them together because they're per 100,000 to get our overall benchmark. And in this case, 78.6 is what we needed for primary care. And this is, again, a map of these particular kinds of doctors. Now, what did we find? We found that only 19% of our urban counties, or 7 because the N is small, and 2%, or only one of our rural counties, actually met the benchmark for the number of primary care physicians that we need to take care of the state of Indiana. And if you think about the map that I was showing you, it was hard to put everything on one slide, but you know, there was a big color differential across the map. So we did have a wide variation in the counties relative to the kinds of providers or the composition of providers that we had in the state. And keeping in mind, again, that that map was primary care physicians. We did learn that Indiana is pretty much driven for primary care by family physicians. We have more family physicians in our state than any other kind. And there was no significant difference between the number of family docs in rural, urban, and suburban counties. So although there was a shortage because we didn't reach our benchmark, we didn't have any maldistribution, if you will, of family doctors. However, we did have a maldistribution of the number of general internal medicine physicians, general pediatricians, and nurse practitioners. And we really worked hard to include our nurse practitioners because we have a really strong nursing school in Indiana, a couple of them, and we are becoming more and more dependent on them as primary care providers. So they're a really important part of the care in Indiana. PAs are coming along right behind that. We're seeing more and more folks enter into the Butler School. I'm not exactly sure how they call it, but to become a physician assistant. This is the picture of the PQIs and PDIs. Basically, what you're looking at here are the best to worst. Again, we ranked them and summed them. We looked at quintiles. This was the easiest way to break the data up. You can see, I'm going to use my mouse again, PQIs, adults, are the orange dark, and the kids are on the right in the green. When you think back on the first map, these are the more populous areas. There's more population generally in the areas that are darker. Might make sense. You would think that there are more folks in those areas, more doctors in those areas, so you might have more avoidable hospitalization, access to care. But I want you to note, I'm looking sort of about most of the way down on this Indiana map. These are avoidable hospitalizations in counties, if you remember, that we didn't have a lot of doctors. So we're guessing those folks might be going over to Ohio for care. But we can talk about that in a minute. So here's sort of a picture of what that looks like. And this is what we found. We found two significant relationships in all the data that we crunched. We found a positive correlation with the number of primary care providers by count, and this is providers as a whole for chlamydia rates, and we suspect that's because they're being taken care of. I don't think there's any real major information to garner from that, except that as the number of primary care providers increases, so do the outcomes, if you will, the detection of chlamydia or the treatment for chlamydia. We saw a negative relationship between the number of women who smoked and primary care providers, which is good. So again, given the fact that we didn't see a lot of other relationships, we're beginning to wonder why this is happening. I'm not sure other than being taken care of is what we're looking at. We're probably seeing some confounding. And then when we looked at a regression model, when we controlled for Medicaid and we controlled for county type, urban, rural, suburban, we did not see any other relationships. So I'm going to jump through these last things. Basically, We know that there's an inadequate supply in Indiana. We do not have a maldistribution of family physicians, but we do have a maldistribution of other kinds of physicians, and they're found mostly in the rural areas. And this maldistribution really only affected a few key indicators. So what we are doing is we are working diligently to improve our lists. We found that even though the area resource file was a great place to start, that was a place where we are working hard to find out if it's accurate as maybe working with our physician license board in the state of Indiana. And they're pretty tight with their information, so we've just recently developed a good relationship with those folks to allow us to use that. We know there are some confounders. We didn't have specialists in the model. The county may not be the best unit. Remember I showed you that there were few doctors in some counties, but they had the best avoidable hospitalizations. Maybe they're going over to the other states. So we're paying attention to that. One shot in time is probably not a good way to look at these data. I doubt very seriously that these indicators are not sensitive to primary care. We're thinking they are. But again, with all these other confounding and regional analyses, might be better to see that. And we are going to incorporate specialists back into our model. One last thing I do want to mention is, I kind of think about why we're here in public health with all of our physician data. We believe that the physician is a real important part of our primary care approach in Indiana. And Indiana University, being a one-school state, is working really hard to bring folks in to get them back out, trained physicians, into our rural areas where we are needing these folks. We have done some other work and have found out that, and many of you may have already done this too, we have found out that when you bring a person in from a rural environment and they're trained to be a physician, they may likely go back out into a rural environment and work. And so we're working collaboratively to impact the health care for the state of Indiana. Thank you. I'm not sure. Next presentation. Yeah.